Welcome to this podcast for Exploring Anatomy, the Human Abdomen. This podcast is going to outline the liver and gallbladder. So the liver is the largest organ and gland in the body, and is located in the right hypochondrium and epigastrium regions. Sometimes particularly large livers can extend across into the left hypochondrium. It has numerous functions, including the detoxification of nutrients from the gut, various metabolic processes, glycogen storage, and the production of bile. The liver has got a diaphragmatic and visceral surface. The diaphragmatic surface is smooth and convex, and it sits under the right dome of the diaphragm. The visceral surface covers the inferior part of the posterior aspect and meets the diaphragmatic surface at the sharp inferior border. The diaphragmatic and visceral surfaces of the liver are both separated from the surrounding structures by two recesses, the hepatorenal and subphrenic. Both of these recesses are found within the greater sac and are formed as the peritoneum is reflected from the liver to attach to either the posterior abdominal wall or the diaphragm. The hepatorenal recess is a peritoneal-lined cavity that has the visceral surface of the liver superiorly and the right kidney inferiorly. This is an important recess as it is the lowest point of the abdominal cavity when in the supine position, and fluid can collect in this recess from the infocolic compartment by passing along the right paracolic gutter. The subphrenic space is also lined by peritoneum and is located between the superior surface of the liver and the diaphragm. It can be divided into right and left parts by the falciform ligament, which extends from the liver to the anterior abdominal wall. The liver is mostly covered with visceral peritoneum, except for at the porta hepatis, the gallbladder fossa, and a triangular-shaped region on the posterior surface. This is known as the bare area. The bare area is formed as peritoneum is reflected towards the diaphragm, coming from the surface of the liver. This reflection occurs at two sites, and these reflections of peritoneum are the anterior and posterior coronary ligaments. In order to appreciate how the anterior coronary ligaments are formed, we just need to remind ourselves of the falciform ligament. The falciform ligament is a double layer of peritoneum that comes from the ventral mesentery. It attaches the liver to the anterior abdominal wall. As it's attaching to the liver, these two layers of peritoneum spread over onto the right side and the left side of the liver's anterior surface. As these layers extend to the superior surface, they are reflected away from the liver and attach to the diaphragm. These form the right and left coronary ligaments. The posterior coronary ligament is formed in a similar way, and as visceral peritoneum extends along the visceral surface of the liver, it reaches the posterior aspect and is then reflected from the liver surface and runs towards the posterior abdominal wall. We now have a surface of the liver between the anterior and posterior coronary ligaments that is not covered by peritoneum, and this is known as the bare area. At the right and left limits of the bare area, the coronary ligaments unite to form the right and left triangular ligaments, and these help suspend the liver and hold it in place. Now let's just talk about the visceral surface of the liver in a bit more detail. So the visceral surface is slanted diagonally downwards from the rounded supero-posterior surface to the sharp inferior border, and is completely covered by visceral peritoneum, except at the porta hepatis and gallbladder fossa. The visceral surface is characterized by numerous fissures. There are two sagittal fissures that are linked by the transverse porta hepatis, and this forms an H-shaped impression. The right sagittal fissure is in line with the inferior vena cava and gallbladder, whilst the left sagittal fissure separates the left lobe of the liver from the caudate and quadrate lobes. We'll look at these later on. Running within this left fissure are two ligaments, the round ligament anteriorly and the ligamentum venosum posteriorly. The round ligament is the fibrous remnant of the umbilical vein, which transmitted nutrient-rich, oxygenated blood from the placenta. It extends to the umbilicus on the anterior abdominal wall. The ligamentum renosum is the fibrous remnant of the ductus renosus, which merges with the inferior vena cava in the developing fetus. This duct shunted blood from the umbilical vein to the IVC, therefore bypassing the liver. The final structure on the Ryssel surface I want to detail is the porta hepatis, and this encloses the portal triad. The porta hepatis links these two sagittal fissures, and the portal triad within it contains three structures: the hepatic portal vein, the hepatic artery, and the bile duct. These three structures enter or leave the liver by running in the hepatoduodenal ligament of the lesser omentum, and this extends between the porta hepatis and the first part of the duodenum. So now let's have a look at the lobes and subdivisions of the liver. The liver can be anatomically divided into two main lobes and two smaller accessory lobes. The two lobes are the left and right lobes, and these are separated by the reflection of the falciform ligament anteriorly and the left sagittal fissure inferiorly. This division makes the right lobe considerably larger than the left. On the Ryssel surface, there are two smaller accessory lobes, the caudate and quadrate, and these are actually part of the right lobe. The caudate lobe is in between the inferior vena cava and the left sagittal fissure posteriorly, and the quadrate lobe is between the gallbladder and left sagittal fissure anteriorly. The shape of these two accessory lobes can be fairly variable. The liver can also be divided into functional left and right lobes due to the distribution of the hepatic arteries, the portal veins, and the venous and biliary drainage. The left and right functional lobes therefore act independently. The left and right functional lobes can be demarcated by the falciform ligament anteriorly and the right sagittal fissure inferiorly. These two functional lobes can also be divided into functional segments, with the liver having 8 segments in total. Each segment receives a branch from the hepatic artery and a branch from the hepatic portal vein. Each segment also gives off a hepatic duct and an hepatic vein. An awareness of the liver's segmentation is exploited surgically, where curative surgery can be carried out to remove damaged or diseased parts of the liver without compromising the remaining healthy segments. Lobectomies or segmentectomies can be performed with considerable success rates. The liver receives two blood vessels, the hepatic artery proper, which provides oxygenated arterial blood. This artery accounts for about 25-30% of the total input, and the hepatic portal vein that delivers poorly oxygenated but nutrient-rich blood to the liver from the entire gastrointestinal tract. The hepatic portal vein provides 70-75% of total input. These blood vessels pass towards the liver within the portal triad that, as I've mentioned, runs within the hepatoduodenal ligament. As the hepatic artery and the hepatic portal vein pass through the porta hepatis, they divide into left or right branches. The left branches go to supply the left functional lobe, whilst the right branches go to supply the right functional lobe. Renus returned from the liver is via hepatic veins. There's usually 3 of these, and they drain directly into the IVC. Passing out of the porta hepatis is the hepatic duct, and this is formed from the left and right hepatic ducts that emerge from the left and right functional lobes. They are carrying bile that passes through the biliary system, and I'll deal with this more in a moment. So now let's just quickly have a look at the gallbladder. This is a pear-shaped sac found in the gallbladder fossa on the inferior aspect of the Ryssel surface of the liver. It's to the right of the quadrate lobe. It has a body, fundus, and a neck. The body is in contact with the Ryssel surface of the liver, and the dilated fundus can stick out under the inferior border. The neck of the gallbladder joins the body to the cystic duct, and the cystic duct has an inner mucosal lining that is elevated into a series of ridges which form the spiral valve. This valve ensures the entrance to the gallbladder is kept open. The gallbladder is supplied by the cystic artery, and this is a small branch that typically comes from the right hepatic artery. The gallbladder is important in the storage and concentration of bile that is being produced by the hepatocytes within the liver. So the biliary system is a network of connecting ducts that pass towards the duodenum. They're important in delivering bile from the liver or gallbladder and pancreatic juices from the pancreas. The two hepatic ducts, the left and right, drain the bile that has been produced by the hepatocytes in the left and right parts of the liver. And as these ducts leave the portal hepatis, they converge to form the hepatic duct or the common hepatic duct. As the common hepatic duct passes inferiorly, it is joined on its right side by the cystic duct, which is coming from the gallbladder. The union of the cystic duct and the common hepatic duct forms the bile duct. The bile duct runs anteriorly to the epiploic foramen within the free edge of the lesser omentum. It runs alongside the hepatic portal vein and the hepatic artery within the portal triad. Within the portal triad, the hepatic portal vein lies posteriorly, and then on the anterior aspect, the bile duct is to the right and the hepatic artery is to the left. As the bile duct extends towards the duodenum, it passes behind the first part and then runs in a groove on the posterior surface of the head of the pancreas. And here it unites with the main pancreatic duct to form the hepatopancreatic ampulla. This ampulla is surrounded by a thickening of circular muscle that forms the hepatopancreatic sphincter. And this opens up into the second part of the duodenum at the summit of the major duodenal papilla. This summit is seen on the inside of the duodenum. There is also a minor duodenal papilla, and this allows the minor pancreatic duct to open into the duodenum. And this drains the upper portion of the head of the pancreas. But I'll detail this in a later podcast. So with that description of the biliary system, I'll finish the podcast here. Thank you.